Welcome to Panelcast, Forbidden Panels podcast, featuring comic book, movie, and video game news and reviews. And now your hosts, AJ and Martin.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 109 of the Panelcast. This is AJ.
And Martin.
This week, continuing on with our showcase series of the contestants for the Zombie Beauty Pageant, we actually have the winner, Miss Jasmine Garcia, who portrayed Betty Bites on stage and was the winner of this year's second annual Empire Zombie Beauty Pageant. I say winner a lot, don't
I? You do. I think it's something you aspire to, and so it's just if you keep saying it in your mind, it'll be there for
right,
you to
right.
get there.
Eventually, I myself will be a winner, and not of just the herpes that I contracted from Richard Garan of Crooked Smile Art, but, you know.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. Why don't we go ahead and jump on over to the interview. Warning, there are two interviews in this podcast. One is with Jasmine, and the other one is with
the Comic Book Live stars, Batman and Green Arrow.
So, we'll come back after Jasmine's interview. It's 43 minutes long. Hey, good evening, everybody. This is AJ, and I am here with, we've been doing this little thing. We've been interviewing contestants for the Zombie Beauty Pageant this past year, and we finally get to sit down with the winner of this year's Inland Empire Zombie Beauty Pageant, the queen herself, Miss Jasmine Garcia. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. You don't have to get too close. It's okay.
I
mean, if you want, you're trying to. I know you're trying to send out kisses to the audience, but they've already voted. You've already won. You don't have to kiss up anymore.
Yeah,
you're okay.
I'm just naturally like that.
Right, there you go. There you go. So, how's it feel being the winner?
It's super cool. Something I didn't think would ever happen, but I'm enjoying it. I love my crown and.
The crown. Everyone seems to like be jealous of the crown itself because that's a handmade, one-of-a-kind item.
No, definitely. It's super cool, and you could bend the fingers to.
I didn't even get to.
Monica
made it. And she's like, "Is this okay?" I'm like, "That's so awesome." And then she walked off with it. Like, I've never even touched it.
That's so
I saw it for like a second.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm very jealous. Can I borrow the crown for a while?
Maybe one day. I'll let you.
Thanks. You do have to give it up next year, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know.
Maybe eventually. it might get lost or something.
I don't know what happened. It was there 1 minute. It's gone.
And it's gone.
Another
now.
Zombie bitch came and took it.
Somebody
I don't
did.
Know what happened. I was out of shotgun shells. I couldn't shoot her.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, what got you interested in entering?
Well, zombies have always been cool to me, but I never thought about it until one of the girls I work with was like, "Hey, I'll do your makeup, your hair. You should compete." I figured this is my one in a lifetime opportunity to be a zombie, so I took it.
Awesome! How'd you hear about it through work?
Yeah.
How'd they hear about it? See, my voice cracking. I swear I hit puberty. I swear to God.
Her husband told her she should compete in it.
Really?
And she was like, "Yeah, right, no way." And she told me about it. I was like, "You should totally do it. I would do it. Why not? Do it." She comes back like 2 days later and she's like, "Hey, were you serious about that?" And I was like, "About what?" She's like, "The zombie pageant." And I was like, "Yeah, you should totally do it. I'll go and support." She's like, "No, you're doing it. I'll do your makeup, hair." And I was like, "Okay, let's do it. Why not?"
Awesome. She's also kind of your boss, right?
Yeah, she's the
man. So she kind of forced you, like, you know, like,
kinda, yeah,
you need to enter or find something else to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
she wants to live vicariously
enter.
Through you. Yeah. I see how it is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I got married. My wife doesn't listen to the show. I'm
yeah,
safe.
You'll be in trouble.
I'll tell her. So you got to enter everything. Now is this your first type of beauty pageant competition?
Yeah, I was in one when I was 5, but.
And what was that?
mini beauty pageant.
Did you win?
I did. I won queen.
So you're just used to being a queen already.
I just do it more often.
Right? Take the hint and like just do it.
Yeah, every beauty pageant I could try.
Remember, like, the joy of next year is I get to shoot you in the head.
Yeah, exactly.
So as big as your head may get this year, I will deflate
it
next year.
Shrink it down to size.
Right, just put you down real quick. I won't even wait till the competition starts. I'll just sit down. Hey, remember this girl? Next.
Oh, the crown's right here.
Now we found it. So this, I mean, this isn't really official, but this was your first official sort of type feedback. What'd you think?
I had fun. I wish I would have been able to see everybody else's, but yeah, it was so much fun. And the girls, the other contestants, were really outgoing, and you know, we kind of all just supported everybody, and we're like.
So this is sucking for me because I've been asking everybody. And because I'm wanting the drama and the juicy gossip,
but
and nobody.
There was none.
I know, you guys are fired. You guys are so fired.
Like, I was back there like, oh, that looks so cool. How do you do that? How did you do that? We're like explaining everything to each other.
You're giving away secrets.
Yeah.
There's no competition anymore.
We were already done up, so, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you could do this. This is how we did that. But it was fun.
So, in the pageant, there was a dance number.
Okay.
Had you done dance like that before?
I did, but nothing like on a show or anything, you know, not for... I was in jazz when I was younger.
Was it difficult for you to learn the steps?
No. Not at all, no.
My wife is in like a slate
pattern. They were fun. They're, you know, Thriller. It's common, but it's
nice.
Fun. We had fun.
And then the talent, remind me of your talent. You did a hula hoop, right?
I swear I practiced and I was able to actually do it, but once I got up there, I didn't realize how nervous I was. And there was
so you were nervous up
yeah,
there?
Yeah, there was no way that, I mean, I really tried to hula hoop as a zombie, but it's just like, it completely went out.
Because it looked like you were trying to fail on purpose.
Exactly.
So apparently when you fail good.
I fell really good. Because I really, I practiced, and right after
she practiced hula hooping. She's 23 years old. And she practiced hula hooping, just so you know.
That's harder than it looks, and there's a lot of tricks you could do. I even looked it up. But, yeah.
You did research.
As soon as I got off stage, I tried it again, and it, like, came out perfectly. I was like, really? Wow. This is great.
So, you were nervous on stage?
Yeah. I didn't think I was, but...
Was it throughout the whole thing, or just...
I think just mostly that part, and maybe the bathing suit part.
Really? Because you played it off really good. I don't mean that, like, in a dirty way. I'm just saying, you went up there and, like... Hammed it up.
Well, I thought everybody was doing that.
Right.
I just did as best as I thought I could do.
Was it because you were in a bathing suit or just being on stage?
Just being on stage. You know, I didn't get to see how amazing the other contestants were, so I just tried to be more amazing, I guess. But.
Well, you had eyeballs on your bathing suit also.
Yeah, I did. I made those myself.
Now, you had mentioned before we started recording that you can't remember anything about your character, story, anything. So here's where I'm going to ask. So tell me about your character.
Okay. I know for a fact that I was a hairstylist, and I got attacked randomly one day by this guy with a mullet. I should have known.
Why was it a mullet? You guys hate mullets?
Just,
you're against the whole lesbian society?
I should have known because he had a mullet.
No.
And
mullet just screams zombie
yeah,
to you.
He just attacked me from behind, and now I was a zombie. Yeah.
How did you develop the character? Was that you? Or you were actually, why don't we go back a little bit.
Yeah.
You were actually sponsored by a hair salon.
Yeah.
Hair to the Max.
Hair to the Max, yes.
Now, were they just involved in makeup and hair, or they were involved in character and practice and all the stuff you did, or just how involved were they?
Well, they definitely did my hair and makeup, and putting, you know, filling out the paperwork and coming up with a name, and we were all throwing ideas in, so yeah, they helped me out.
So it was more of a collaborative effort?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I got my costumes together, they just did my hair and makeup. And
now, being sponsored, did you feel more pressure?
I did, but they were all really supportive the whole time. I mean, it's a competition, you know, you can't guarantee that,
right.
You know, there's only one winner, so.
But did you feel more need to win for them than for yourself?
I was going to give it my all either way, and that's the kind of person I am, so.
Okay.
I kind of
just weren't expecting these kind of questions, were you? Sorry.
That's okay.
I actually have a background in journalism,
like, oh,
so you're kind of screwed in that.
I won't ask you that many questions.
I lied. Marissa was on here for an hour.
Oh,
Pauline was 40 minutes. Which is weird, because if you've met Pauline, she don't talk.
Yeah.
No. 40 minutes.
That was the second runner-up?
Yeah.
Yeah. She didn't talk that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, 40 minutes she was on here talking.
That's funny.
Couldn't shut her up.
Oh,
couldn't
yeah? Really?
Couldn't shut her up.
That's cool.
All bad things about you guys. She hated every single one of you.
I hated her, too.
Yeah.
She had an awesome costume.
She was, she's very gung-ho about when, like, her life goal is to win. So she was very, you know, knocked down when she didn't win.
Mm.
But she didn't take it like, screw fucking Jasmine, yeah. I hate her. And, you know, not like that. She was,
forget zombies.
It's just motivating her to try harder next
year.
Yeah,
definitely.
So there you go. You motivated someone that lives in a closet, in a shell. And
why not?
I make her sound gay. She lives in a closet. And she's getting ready to burst out the closet.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
She'll be able to float on a cloud.
Right. There you go.
Jump over rainbows.
So, for you, how was backstage?
I had fun backstage. Getting ready, all my makeup and stuff was pretty much done. Just the only part that I really needed help with was when the bathing suit, because I had a two-piece, so I was showing like half of my midsection, and we had run out of makeup. So
I heard there was rumors of everyone sharing blood in the backstage.
Oh, I don't know. I brought my own tube of blood. I just poured blood all over me, so that kind of worked, but yeah, it was fun. I had a blast backstage.
How was the makeup process? Like, your hair was crazy detailed. That's
yeah.
the most detail I've ever seen. Can you describe it and how long it took and all that?
Okay. Well, the hair took, just to put, like, the little twist to make it into the brain, took probably about 45 minutes. Then we went to the show, we're at the Fox Theater, and after that we went to go do my makeup, and all that took about 3-4 hours.
Really?
Yeah. It took a while. I mean, we were, you know, talking and having fun, but yeah, all together for us.
So, yeah, like she said, they twisted her hair up so that it looked like she had exposed brain.
Mm-hmm.
And there should be pictures where you guys are listening to this so you can take a look at it, but it was very detailed, and it was
yeah.
very impressive, the whole
and,
thing.
Like, blood
it
all
actually
over
made
it.
Me kind of hungry, but I didn't want to get shot, right? I was actually going to call you in, but
yeah.
can I come over and bite you? But, you know, my wife would have thought something weird. So.
Probably. She's like, who are you talking to on the phone at this time?
Why are you going over our house to bite her? Where are you biting her at? Babe, it's all brains, I swear to God.
That's so funny.
So I don't eat yours, because
yeah.
I love you. That's my excuse.
Exactly.
Cheaters Anonymous right there, that's how you get through it all. She was a zombie, baby, don't count, she's
yeah,
dead.
Yeah, she's dead already.
It's necrophilia, it works out.
Oh my gosh. No, that's horrible. Don't do that.
Right now, everybody at the shop is listening to this going, what did we get into?
Oops.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah.
So you had a big crowd show up for you.
Yeah.
How many people do you think? How many people did you bribe to vote for you?
Let's
should be the question.
I know they all better have voted for me. But I think about 15 people together. About maybe a little
something
bit
like 30.
Like 30?
Like an entire section.
Oh, okay. Probably. Yeah. About that. I don't know. I was too focused on my character. But yeah, definitely. I know my mom and dad went. The girls from the shop. And, like, some of their family members went, my brother went, a couple of my friends. So, yeah, I must have had a big group.
What did your family think about you entering into this?
They thought it was cool because I don't do stuff like this. I don't, you know, go into pageants and zombies. I'm, you know, I've never really shown so much interest in them. But, yeah, they were like, what? That's cool. My brother is super into it. Like, he's into The Walking Dead and
right.
all that stuff. He's like, yeah, that's awesome. So I would tell him about my costumes and what my ideas were. And he's like, yeah, that looks great. And so he was kind of helping me out. And he's like, oh, you should watch how zombies walk, how they act. And
right.
like, he's like, it's all in your neck and your hands and the way you move your legs. So it was fun, yeah.
So you say you don't dress up for Halloween or anything?
You know what, my family is pretty conservative, so I don't really go all out for Halloween. So yeah, I mean, and usually if I do, it's like I'm a cop or something.
Are you
like
one
a
of
nerd,
those girls that's like
a
I'm a sexy cop and I'm a sexy
yeah,
nerd?
Like a maid or something, yeah.
See, no.
I'm not a zombie.
No,
not
no.
A, thought of flesh eating zombie with brains sticking out.
You know, no, see, costumes aren't supposed to be about, like, how can I make this look hot? No.
Exactly,
they're
no.
They're supposed to be, like,
I
you
don't
know,
think so either.
In character.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's kind of, so,
it
this
was,
really, like,
it
is,
was, like, out of my,
out of your comfort
for
zone.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And do you regret it?
No, not at all. Not at all. It was super fun.
Now, during rehearsals, when you realized, you know, exactly how involved and everything it was, well, what did you think it was going to be when you got into it? And then once you realized how involved it was, did that affect your thought process into being in it?
No, I mean, I was nervous the whole time, just because, you know, I wanted to give my all, and I wasn't really sure about the whole zombie, you know, crowd or anything.
Right.
But, like, all the girls, we just, for some reason, seemed to get along.
So everybody's, like,
yeah,
supported
so
everybody
we
and it made
like,
it okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So at the first rehearsal, though, when you learned about the dance
yeah.
number and all this other stuff, did that... Would you,
no.
That
no.
didn't, like, you know, make you, wait a minute, what am I getting involved with here? Well, this is way more than I thought it was going to be.
Kind of. So at some times, it was a little overwhelming, but I just took it all in.
Now, the most important question is, how am I as a director? Did you hear me?
No, not at all. Not at all. You were my favorite.
Good answer. Great. You're going to go far in this business, let me just tell you. Because I know I was a big ball of stress the entire time, even leading up to it. So I didn't know, like, if I had accidentally offended you, I apologize.
That's okay. You probably did, like, twice. But
really?
Okay.
The time I backhanded you, that didn't
something
bother
like, you know, I felt it, but it was
that's what my wife
it
says.
Wasn't.
Anyway,
wasn't that strong.
I need to light another cigarette now. Thank you. In case you were wondering, bribery is accepted for me because I do the ballot counting.
Okay.
So there you go.
I didn't have to. Just so everybody knows.
She just felt she needed to. So yeah. Okay. So backstage, everything was cool. What are you looking forward toward more as being the new beauty queen, the zombie beauty queen?
Just to say that I'm the zombie beauty queen, that's super cool. Plus, like, I got to show everybody, you know, front page, newspaper, Redlands newspaper, that was so
yeah,
cool.
How did you see, like, you,
yeah,
was that cool?
I was like, what, this is so cool, yeah. Showed everybody and everybody's like, oh, that's amazing, you make an amazing zombie. And I'm like, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Duh.
Duh.
I'm the queen, bitch. Duh.
No, but yeah, it was cool, I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the things when I was trying to do when I was talking to you girls initially about it was to, you know, this isn't like a big deal.
Yeah.
You will get newspaper. You will get notoriety. It's not just about being on stage and showing
yeah.
your ass off in a bikini. You know, this.
Yeah.
So, like, did it pay off? Were you happy when you saw it? Everything?
Yeah, I was definitely happy. You know what? Actually, the whole time I went in with the mindset, like, thinking, like, oh, yeah, I want to win. But I didn't really think I was going to win. But, so it was kind of a shock when, you know, just seeing everything. And when I looked back and saw a little, you know, pick up video, I was like, what? That's me. That's
so
pretty
you didn't even think that was you? Like,
yeah, it was like...
You didn't even recognize yourself?
Yeah.
Singing that
crazy.
Song?
Yeah, it was fun.
Man, I got like 1,000 questions running through my head. I do this every interview. I like brain fart right in the middle of it. I don't even know what's going on. What day is it?
What day is it?
I think it's Sunday.
Yeah,
there's like Christmas
Sunday.
Music playing in the background. And we're talking about undead things. So when they called your name as being one of the two,
yeah.
What was going through your head?
Just like, wow, that's cool. I'm like, oh, now I hope I win.
Did you feel more pressure? We're like a little bit more nervous?
No. You know what? I practiced my, like, you know, because we had to die at the end where everybody shot
right.
us. So I did practice that. So I was prepared to, like, die.
So when I said your name, did you automatically just think, okay, time to drop? Oh,
yeah.
Wait, I won.
I was like,
oh, crap.
I was like, oh, man, I practiced it so much.
You're all disappointed. You're like, look, I practiced. I'm just going to die anyway.
I'm just
going
to die.
Pauline wins. Fuck this. I'm going down.
Yeah, but I was actually really shocked. Shocked, but at the same time,
So, and that's when you were announced as the first two.
Yeah.
And then when you got called up as the winner, like...
Even crazier. I just heard everybody screaming. My corner.
Your corner.
My whole section, yeah. I heard
all the other contestants were laying down on you, bitch.
That's so... Aw, no, I mean, I could remember most of them congratulating me, so, yeah.
Now, one of the biggest complaints, and I have to tell you this, was that every time you were up there, you were smiling.
Oh, I know. That was my biggest problem. I told everybody, like, my whole group, I told them, okay, so for some reason I'm a smiler, I'm a happy person. My face is, like, fixed like that. So that's why we came up with the name Betty Bites, and every time I remembered that I was smiling or realized that I was smiling, I would just grind my teeth or bite, you know? So that kind of helped me. But, yeah, I was definitely smiling the whole time.
Right. there were a couple people like, zombies don't smile.
They don't smile.
Maybe next time you enter, you can do makeup to where your lips are gone.
Yeah, my
and
lips
you just have
gone.
Teeth out all the time.
You know, and that blood tasted kind of good, so I think I kept like. You know,
we've converted you in more ways than one now.
I tried to put extra blood on my lips so you wouldn't notice that I was smiling, but they didn't last that long. I was all licking my teeth, getting all off. But, yeah, so.
Like, damn, now I get it.
I definitely did.
Blood is good.
I definitely did smile the whole time. But I did have random people that I didn't know, like during the, where we took photos, you mm-hmm. know. They were like, oh, I think you're awesome, I'm totally going to vote for you. So that was really cool. And I was like, yeah. So kind of fun.
How was your experience with the ZKS crews, your escort?
They were pretty hardcore.
They were bruised and broken at the end of the night. So I don't know.
That's funny.
And apparently they said you guys were plotting.
Oh, yeah.
Like on ways to escape them and stuff. So
yeah, we thought about a couple of things. We were like, oh, we'll take the skinny guy down.
Martin, you've been designated as the skinny guy.
But no, yeah, they were good. They, you know, I didn't bite anybody, so I did get in people's hair though. So.
Their uniforms are just covered in blood. It looks like they actually went to war.
Like, I bet.
And they're all proud of it. Like,
look at it. I survived a zombie attack.
So tell me about the after process. You were complaining a little bit about it earlier,
yeah.
About getting all the makeup and out.
Oh, my gosh.
Tell me about that.
So the twist that I did in my hair originally to make it look like brains ended up being a headache all on its own. That took me about an hour. I had to soak my head on one side for, like, forever. And just getting all that stuff off my skin. Yeah, it was
so
like,
at any point in time afterwards when you're doing all that, were you like, why? Why did I do this?
I went to sleep with a couple, like, pieces of zombie on me still. I know my back was still off.
Were they your pieces or were they from somebody else?
No, they weren't mine. They were mine. Yeah, mostly, I think.
Mostly.
Definitely, yeah.
On Halloween, did you get dressed up at all?
I think the weekend before Halloween, I was Red Riding Hood.
But you didn't on Halloween night?
No.
You didn't, like, pimp out your sash and crown and be like, what's up?
I should have, but, actually, I stayed home and, you know, tried to hand out candy, but not that many people showed up around my neighborhood. I think most of the lights were off, so. Yeah.
We sat there and were like, fuck, we still gotta do Halloween?
We still have to,
oh, crap.
I still have to dress up? No way, I don't want to dress up. Fuck Halloween. Yeah, that was crazy.
So, have you shown off the sash and crown at all?
Oh, yeah. The crown is at the shop.
Really? It's at the shop?
It's at the shop.
Awesome.
Yeah, and we have like a little zombie section.
Really?
Yeah, it's cool. They have my, you know, the newspaper and stuff, something.
Take a picture of that and send it to me so
okay.
I can put it up with this.
Yeah.
That's
kind
of cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Any customers come in and, like, congratulate?
Oh, we tell everybody, yeah.
You bragged everybody.
No, actually, I didn't even have to. They always ask about the crown because
really?
They see it right there. And sometimes, you know, we get silly and put, like, fix the fingers. Flip people off. And they're like, oh my gosh, is that a crown? yeah, check it out, we won. So, yeah, it was definitely a team win.
So, I was gonna say, it's we won, not you,
yeah,
but we.
Yeah, no. I would have never even been in character if they wouldn't have fixed me up so often.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to take any credit away from them, but, you know, it was you on the stage, it was you and
yeah,
the character
yeah,
and all
yeah,
that
definitely.
Stuff. Do you feel that sometimes? Like, I did that. Yeah.
Even though, honestly, like, me being on stage was kind of a blur, it happened so quickly. It's like...
It was 3 hours long, though.
You know, and I don't feel like... When it was done, I was like, it's done? But, you know, it was getting ready the whole time, so... I don't know. I don't feel like I was on stage that long.
It was 3 hours long.
Yeah.
I know, I've lost some hair because of it.
I stressed the whole time.
Did you see me? I'm running around like crazy.
Yeah.
And I keep telling people, like, my favorite part of the night was when I walked out in the back to have a cigarette. I got up on the steps, lit a cigarette, turned around, and there all you guys are, like, looking at me, like, are you here to tell us something? Give us some guidance? Or I didn't want a cigarette.
Leave me alone.
I hate all of you.
Do I have to go to my car?
So the audience reaction, did you notice it at all when you're on stage? What did you see out in the crowd?
I just saw, you know, I was staring at everybody. So.
Did you see, like, were they smiling? Were they laughing? Were they like, what is this doing?
You know, some people were like, super into my hair, trying to figure out what it was, or, you know, or, just, like, all the costumes. So, you know, they were really kind of just paying attention to all the little details. Yeah.
Now, Marissa put her head through a board. Pauline broke her toe. Did you sustain any injuries that day?
She broke her toe?
She broke her toe. She came down from doing her talent. And she... slammed her toe. She couldn't see. She only had slammed her toe into one of the braces and broke her toe.
You know, I was wondering about that because I was like, can she see through that? But
she had to have people escort her up the steps.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. I was
crying. It's like, those bitches are dumb. I was good. That's why I won and they didn't.
I don't know how that happened. They were doing too much. No, they weren't. They did a great job.
So next year, you get to hand over the crown.
Mm-hmm.
Do you plan on entering the year after that? Like, are you going to do this again?
I don't think I will because, you know, I went away with the crown. Like, what if I enter again and then I...
And you fail?
Don't even come in second.
And you fail horribly.
Yeah.
And your life just has no meaning at
exactly.
that point.
Exactly.
You just pull the bullet near it.
Yeah. I'd rather go down as a Yeah, handing off the crown.
Well, you do get shot on stage.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll die happily. Happily.
Will you come to the event at least to see it happen
definitely.
And stuff?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. And I, even though it was a headache taking all that stuff off, I did like getting dressed up into a zombie. It was cool.
Have you picked out the outfit you're going to wear as the reigning queen next year?
I was just thinking about going with the same one. Or I could...
You're not going to wash it?
Oh, no, yeah. It's actually washed, because I really like the dress, and I was thinking about using it for Halloween, like, as either I was going to be a vampire, probably, or a witch or something like that.
You're the queen. You should be representing all the time.
I should be a zombie every Halloween.
You should walk with the crown and the sash, have, like, a picture of you, like, Flava Flav, hanging off
exactly,
your neck.
Exactly, I should.
And be like, oh, no, no.
Have a picture... wallet size I could show everybody.
Exactly. Just pull out, like, you open your wallet and it's like 50 pictures flying out.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's me walking. Here's me continuing to walk. Here's me walking up the steps.
My talent. My bathing suit.
Here's the hoo hoop I used. It's on eBay.
Oh, that's hoo hoop. I'm so disappointed.
Somebody actually was going to use a hoo hoop.
Were they?
For their talent and I talked them out of it. Pauline, actually. She did the jump work.
Yeah.
Intestines. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I don't think it'll work. And then here you come rolling up in the hula hoop. I'm like, wow.
It would have worked if it would have came out the way I planned it.
So we're going to have to do like a photo shoot of you doing the whole
actually,
hula hoop for real.
Actually hula hooping, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
See how that works out. You get to go to WonderCon, Comic-Con, all these other conventions, mm-hmm. and you go representing us in the Beauty Queen. How do you feel about that?
It's going to be fun. I've never been to any of those, so...
So we're just popping you all over the place. Like
new experience. My life is changing.
Yeah, see? And not for the good. She has to go on deck, mind you. She doesn't get to have fun.
It's going to be funny. But
I'll know it's a bad time when you're not smiling.
Yeah, anymore. When I'm not smiling, exactly.
She's not. Please tell me she's in character.
Something's happening.
Like, no, exactly. I got you.
I don't want to be a zombie anymore.
So do you have a... boyfriend, girlfriend?
Yeah, I have a boyfriend.
And what do you think about this?
He didn't go.
What?
I know.
You should dump his ass.
I should have, but we were barely, like, he had barely asked me to be his girlfriend, like, 2 days before, and I think he had to babysit his sister or something.
If that was an excuse.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, when am I ever going to be in another bathroom?
Right.
But that's okay. I'll accept it, whatever. Things happen. But,
that's
my family went. The people that matter.
Oh, he's listening to us right now.
The people that matter went.
You know, like, apparently I don't matter.
Apparently.
We're done, I guess.
It is over.
The one thing you do, and I'm not there, sorry.
I'm going to email him. Check this out.
Hint, hint, motherfucker. Hint, hint.
In case you didn't know. Yeah.
He shows up at my door. Just letting you know. Why are you making her say this shit? Shut up.
Yeah.
Boo you.
I was there. Boo you. I was there. Where were you?
I didn't even know her. I was there. What's up?
You're not the guy that showed up. No, yeah, right. Just kidding.
She said, I love you. I owe you.
Sort of.
So, yeah, what's next? Anything other than, like, what you're obligated to do as a queen? Anything geek-related, fun-related, anything like that?
And you know what? I would like to get more into the comic scene, just because I don't really know anything about it.
Oh, well, shameless plug.
Okay.
Once a month, we host the Inland Empire Comic Book Club.
I guess those exist.
So, like, if you think book club, like with comic books,
yeah.
It's to help people learn about comic books and read new books and open up their heads. So you're more than welcome to come and learn.
That's
if you're interested.
Cool.
In
when
it.
Do you guys host class?
Actually, this Wednesday.
This Wednesday?
This Wednesday.
At what time?
At 7.
At
the clubhouse.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So you should come and learn about comic books.
Yeah.
You are involved with the comic book company now.
Yeah.
So you might as well learn the trade.
I might as well, definitely. I mean, I know Superman, but that's...
You're so fired. You're going to give me that crown and flashback. You are done.
You're like, never mind.
No, you're not representing us. In fact, I'm going to delete this right now. Where's that button?
So it'll be fun to learn. I definitely want to get involved in more stuff like that.
So you're going to use this as an opportunity, as an excuse to learn?
Yeah. I think everything's an opportunity, so you just got to take advantage of it.
Right. And then, you make me, I blanked out again. I'm all like, damn, it's cold.
Yeah.
Bing Crosby's getting on my nerves.
We're still listening to Christmas music.
Still listening to Christmas music. It's the same song.
I think so.
It's been playing the entire freaking time. What got you, you said you like zombies.
Yeah.
What got you into it? And what about them do you like?
Actually, because it was, you know, Halloween was coming up, I had a friend and he was like, he told me about this book, Zombie Wars.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was telling me all about it, and then I was kind of getting into Day of the Dead, the show, and one day we painted zombies, and I was like, hey, that's cool, and then I told Nadine, the girl that told me about the show, and she's like, oh, that's funny that you say that, because
and then
my husband was like, oh, you should totally enter it. And then I ended up being in it.
So, like, you're a super noob in zombies.
Yeah, definitely. Super, super, super noob.
Don't tell the rest of the contestants.
Okay, I will.
They're hardcore zombie fans.
That's bad.
And they're going to be like, wait, you learned about zombies a week before you
really?
Entered in? They're going to jump you and take that shit away from you.
I'm sorry, guys.
My name is Jasmine Garcia. She works the Hair of the Max in San Bernardino.
Oh, man. Off of Kendall.
You're straight up going to have like a Day of the Dead moment. You're going to get off of work, you're going to lock the door, turn around.
I know.
All the contestants are lined up in zombie makeup, like...
Yeah. Ready.
Right.
Ready to jump me.
You think your brains, you think your hair was fucked up before?
Watch.
It's going to be real brains.
Real blood. You won't have a smile on your face then.
You'll still be smiling. You'll find a reason.
Probably.
Attention.
No. They love me. They really do.
No.
They hate me. That's okay.
So we're gonna have to work on upgrading your zombie knowledge, because I'm gonna warn you, if you're sitting at a booth at WonderCon,
they're gonna ask me all
kinds of questions. They're gonna ask you favorite zombie movie, favorite zombie, what type of zombie do you like, stuff like that.
The dead ones.
And if you say that, We will lose contact. I actually write a zombie comic book.
Okay, definitely.
So we're going to, I need you to sell my comic.
Yeah.
Come to ForbiddenPanel.com and buy my comic. Well, you need to represent.
Yeah, definitely.
So we're going to have to educate you between now and then.
Totally ready.
One of the things that you win with being the Beauty Pageant winner is the complete ZKS collection from us. So, granted, there's only one book with an actual story, but hopefully that'll help you out.
Yeah.
You also get to win $100. Well, what are you going to do with that money? Buy zombie books, right?
Yeah. No, I was actually thinking about... I have school, so books.
Yeah, are you splitting that with your sponsors?
I was thinking probably split a little bit with the girl that did my face makeup and then.
Just use the money to take them out to dinner.
Yeah, that sounds good too.
See, I'm full of ideas.
Or just a potluck at work, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Bring pizza.
Yeah. I spent $10 on you guys. Here you go. I mixed up with $100. I swear, this is $100 in pizza. I don't care if it says DiGiorno on it.
It's good.
Just eat it and shut the hell up.
Yeah.
And then, what'd you do with the sash? Is that up at work too?
Oh no, that's at my house. Yeah.
Is it framed? Is it
hanging
like laying
on my
floor?
Bed? No.
Is it really hanging
yeah,
on your bed?
Yeah, it's
that's
hanging
awesome.
On my bed.
Send me a picture of that too.
Okay.
Like anything, I just want to. I like to promote and pimp it out. Plus, you know, being the director and the creator of all this,
yeah.
I got it. Thought of all this rant, it makes me a little goosebumpy to hear that you have this up at a store.
Yeah.
We had this one customer, that fan, I guess, came to WonderCon last year, and he's like, yeah, I love your stuff. We have a pizza restaurant, and we have a wall full of zombie kill stuff.
What? But, no way. That's super
I'm like,
cool.
Where the fuck is your restaurant?
Yeah.
I will go and eat there all the time. I don't care if it's in Indochina. I will go.
Exactly. Once a month, at least.
But, you know, like, I geek out about it. I'm like, I geek out about being geeked out at, you know,
well,
it's kind of weird.
Awful.
So,
yeah.
Hearing that you enjoy yourself and that you're happy to be the queen and wander around, that makes me all happy. And
yeah.
Funny. Maybe I'll do this again next year.
I think you should.
I'm being forced to, honestly.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, like all the contestants are like, no, we want to try this again.
Yeah.
You best have it. I don't care if it's in your backyard.
Yeah.
It'd be like backyard zombie wrestling beauty pageant contest.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good idea. I'm going to write that down.
Maybe. There might be some more, like, broken toes and fingers.
Right. Do you think that having such a big group of friends and family come over helped your vote in any way?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, you don't think that you would have won without that?
I mean, I went...
How confident were you in your character, basically?
I mean, I went... with the goal of winning, but like I said, I was totally prepared to die. But yeah, everybody wants to win. Everybody enters into a competition, you know, trying to win. So.
Right.
I win.
So do you think you, like...
I think I probably...
Grease the wheels a little bit?
I mean, I heard, you know, my bathing suit was pretty awesome. So,
sorry, am I talking to you or your ego? Because, like, both chairs are filled now.
I know, right? Good thing we're not
you're
in
like,
a room.
You're like, have you seen me in my bikini? Shit.
No, I mean, just because, I guess, you know, I went down on all fours and pretty out there. So,
now everybody's going to want to buy the video.
Yeah,
keep talking.
You should totally go out and buy it. At least you won't recognize my face.
Or your butt, because it has eyes all over it.
Yeah, it has eyes all over it.
Why eyes?
You know what? Because I felt like since I am a girl and it was a beauty pageant, you know, I had to try to be, like, a little bit more pretty. And I didn't want to do pearls, so I just figured instead of collecting pearls...
Because then the whole pearl necklace thing that came up.
Yeah, neck. Oh, yeah, eyeballs work for me. That way I could eat them, you know. They were candy, so...
They were candy? Yeah, I thought, just like, personally, I would have put little brains on them, but that's just me, because it's zombies.
Yeah.
And then you get it on stage.
No.
Know. That's just me. I'm just inventive
extra
like
blood,
that.
You know. I really like that.
You know, up there with, like, a bottle of blood, like, two blood, you're like, what's that?
I know, right? That would have been cool. Ideas for next year.
Right. Contestants.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by the number of people in the audience?
Yeah, I mean, I heard there was a good turnout last year, so...
Not as good as this.
Not as good as this? Oh, that's
twice
even
as
better.
Many people.
Yeah, that's even better. I like, you know, I like the fact that it was kind of a full house. It was a full house, wasn't it?
Yeah, completely full house. 308 people there.
Wow.
That's why we didn't have any vendors. Last year we had vendors inside the ballroom.
Yeah.
This year we couldn't because, A, there was twice as many B-girls.
Yeah.
And twice as many people coming, so we had to say goodbye to the vendors and,
yeah,
you know, adhere to the customers. So.
Definitely. It was fun. You guys did a great job getting everything.
Thank you.
I love the zombies on the walls, like,
so. As my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law did lights and sound. He did a fantastic job on that stuff.
That was awesome. And the chandeliers looked so cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sean did all the decorations. All I did was stress. That's all I did. Like I did, I had nothing to stress about because I always said I didn't do a damn thing. But
yeah.
All I did was stress about
it. Yeah. It came out good.
How about the host, Dave?
Dave is great. Yeah. He's so, like, energetic the whole time.
I know, it's like he's on crack or something.
He must be.
He's like, yeah, all the time.
He's like five Red Bulls before the show.
I know.
Something. Yeah, but he's really cool. And he even helped me because my sash kept, like, falling off. I think he ran and grabbed me a bobby pin.
Do you think he did you justice when he was announcing you and everything?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. He did a great job.
Awesome. And then afterwards, I don't know if you knew this, you guys were outside on the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Getting pictures. It went on for a while.
Yeah.
Right? Well, did that bother you? Was that, you know, a little too long for you? Or how did
no.
you feel about all that?
Like I said, the whole thing kind of just blew by. I had no idea until I looked at the clock. I was going home and I was like, oh man, it's already 11. Like, then the tires came in. So.
Then you're okay. Because I had to get in line to get out.
Yeah.
Like all 308 people were in the front lobby taking pictures of you. It was like paparazzi heaven at that point.
It was fun.
Yeah, you enjoyed.
I've
like,
never had that before. Oh my gosh, my body got so sore from like
contorting everywhere.
Yeah. Like for the whole week after. It was crazy. I didn't expect
my
ass. I'm like, how did that happen? I wonder if everybody else feels this way.
No, just you. Everyone.
That one girl broke her toe.
Right.
Like, it was intense.
That's
yeah.
dedication right there. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't have anything like bad happen to me, but I was sore for a while. Yeah.
We'll see. That means you earned it.
Yep.
Alrighty. Well, I guess that about wraps it up. Is there anything you wanted to add? Maybe thank people for voting for you.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. You did. I mean, I'm so excited for the people that came out and supported. I know there was a lot of people that couldn't come out, but definitely were happy, you know, for me. And the girls at the shop, Nadine, Elisa, Ophelia, Liz, Mercedes, everybody, you know. We
She's
all
fucking for that raise
yeah,
right there.
We all came together. It was definitely a team win. And I hope that the contestants next year go harder than we did this year.
Do you have any like advice you can give them other than go harder?
Like
some little trick that they should know about?
Just be a zombie, I guess. I don't know.
Leave it all on the runway.
Be alive in a dead way. Yeah, definitely.
That'd mean more if you didn't smile again. So you gotta lose.
But I always smile. It's just who I am. My parents paid for my teeth, so they appreciate it.
Well, see, and Marissa is a dental assistant, so now...
Oh, is she?
Yeah,
okay,
see, there you go. I told her not to look at mine. Mine are whole.
These are paid for.
For life.
Yeah, for life. I'll always smile.
All right, you know what? We didn't even mention. Jasmine was Betty Bites. That was the name of your character up on stage.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for entering and competing, and congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
You can see her. She will be at WonderCon at her booth. As soon as I have the booth number, I'll put it up and let you guys know. We'll be selling portraits and whatnot of herself. And if she's not at the booth, it's because we got tired of her ass.
They killed me earlier.
Or she just wouldn't stop smiling. And yeah, it was just out of character. There's nobody. You ever go to our booth at con? We don't smile.
Aww.
We're too busy going, we have fans for you.
Yeah. I will be smiling. There's no stop.
Until the first creepy guy comes
and
up.
And then I'm like, ew. Yeah.
He's like, hello. How are you?
Do you want a picture?
Can I touch your brain?
Should you get a picture?
Like, whoa.
Maybe
twice
not.
As much for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And sign this restraining order. Like, you're just going to have them pre-printed, like,
exactly.
sitting right next to you.
Exactly.
Photo, restraining order. Which one would you like? One's 100, one's 50.
Exactly.
One has my address. One has my picture. Which one you want?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again. And thanks to everybody listening.
Thank you.
And we're back. Talk about Jasmine.
I just did for 43 minutes.
What did you guys think? Hopefully you guys loved her. She's our queen for 2012, 2013, and we'll be crowning next year's queen. You guys can check her out at WonderCon, and she'll be at a couple other events with us throughout next year. So stay tuned to the website and the podcast, and we will keep you guys posted on her whereabouts. The next interview is from Comic Book Live's recent performance of Batman, A Holiday Special, with Chris Gore from G4 fame and The Podcrash, as well as Patrick Eamore, who played the other vigilante billionaire, Green Arrow, in the Batman Holiday Special.
So Chris Gore played Batman.
Chris Gore played Batman, yes, sorry. And this interview is quick and pretty, pretty, pretty awesome, as they would say from the show. Check it out. Hi guys, Martin got down here for Comic Book Live out in Hollywood. I'm here with Batman and the other billionaire vigilante, Green Arrow, Patrick and Chris.
I'm Green Arrow.
I'm Batman.
And they've just finished starring in the Batman Holiday Special. How did you guys feel about the show?
I don't want to lie, I feel like that was our best show we've ever had. It was an amazing crowd, and it was more fun. I think it was more fun than I've ever had doing this, to tell you the truth.
Well, the idea was to do like a cheesy holiday special, like from the 70s or 80s, like the Star Wars holiday special.
Right.
But I think what we started doing is reaching out to people that are not normally audiences that would go to this thing. You know, like people that are into the cosplay and nerdy stuff.
We kind of went more for comic book fans than improv fans, and a lot of connections like you, as a matter of fact, that we've made at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing them to this theater to see improv for the first time instead of trying to get our improv friends to read comic books.
Okay. Well, I can tell you guys,
from the
audience
like
side, it was hilarious. I mean, we were dying over here. One,
oh,
you know, as a comic
you.
Book fan myself, I'm
well,
laughing
you get
at
the
you
inside
guys.
Jokes.
Right,
you
you
get
guys
the
were
jokes.
Doing these great inside jokes that were hilarious right. and catching the little quibs in there. I saw you guys at Kamikaze back in LA in September. It was hilarious. It was the Marvel, the Avengers. What made you guys go with Batman this time around? I've noticed you guys have done a couple of variety shows.
I don't want to sound crass, but we were trying to tie it in with the release of The Dark Knight Rises,
yeah.
available on Blu-ray, DVD, and Ultraviolet, which came out December 4th, I believe. Did it come out December 4th?
Something like that, yeah.
Came out
like that. No,
so we're trying to tie in, like, what are people thinking about? And I feel like our next show is going to be even bigger.
For sure.
Because we're doing Star Wars. We're sort of drawing from the Star Wars comic books, but we're doing Star Wars Episode 7, The Phantom Hope.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So you guys came up with the Batman for the holidays. It was good PR
it's
there.
Right
I like
now.
That.
I mean,
like that.
Even today I was talking about it, and I just looked out the window of the car, and there's giant billboards of Batman everywhere. And, you know, when new movies come out, for a while now, Chris has been talking about him on TV every Tuesday, and he dresses like Batman. He's got a Twitter called Bat Chris Gore instead of That Chris
I
Gore.
Actually do have a Twitter called Bat
Chris Gore. It seems like a pretty natural thing. And then once we started talking to our friends in the improv community that we play with, everybody was perfect for a certain character. Derek Reed has never played Two-Face before, but he's played Billy Dee Williams as Lando Calrissian a number of times.
And they set that up in the Tim Burton Batman, Billy
Dee
Williams.
We saw that first one, we met Harvey Dent, and we were like, when are we going to see Billy Dee Williams as Two-Face?
Never.
I feel like we did tonight.
You guys delivered that to the fans who missed out on that all these years.
Because I was 14 in 1989, and I waited for that for a while, and eventually was like, okay, that's Tommy Lee.
That was a setup that never paid off. A setup that never paid off in the Tim Burton movies.
And you guys have now delivered it.
But we've delivered it to the fans.
And I like that Chris sounded like Adam, or he dressed like Adam West, but he sounded like Christian Bale.
Yes.
And we had Brandon playing a Heath Ledger Joker, with Cannon playing an animated Harley Quinn type, who would have normally been with Mark Hamill. And then we had Tommy playing just sort of like an all-grown-up Burt Ward-style Joker. I mean, Robin.
Right, Robin.
And I was not playing. I haven't seen Arrow yet, to be completely honest.
Oh, the show's great.
I'm
the
intimidated
really
by his shirtless pics, so I just want to watch it.
I'm telling you, I think you got it. Don't worry.
Definitely
don't
worry.
Done
it.
It's on the CW. It's hard not to be.
You know, I'm a huge. I love Green Arrow, because he is. He's kind of a liberal. If anybody in the DC universe smoked weed, it would be Green Arrow.
But also, Oliver Queen, I really think they should have tied his origin into being teased in gym class for having the last name Queen.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably would have been a better origin for him, because how traumatizing would that be to have that name
for sure.
and have to go to gym class in junior high?
Yeah,
but
you know,
really, if they would do, that's worse than having your parents killed.
If they did a Green Arrow backstory, it would be the... I think it's one of the coolest ones, because you basically have the movie Castaway.
Right.
Yeah.
As his thing happening, and he becomes such a good, like, homemade archer of a DIY kind of, like, archer and spear maker that it's good enough to fight crime in a society that's all digital. He's
right.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say that, like, I'm using the most primitive weapon. Well, it's not as primitive as the spear or the hammer, but primitive.
You two sound like you have a lot of fandom interest, and you guys know a lot about comics, right?
We're nerds.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So
nerds.
How much of this was you guys bringing your personal fanness into this, your fanboy geekiness into the show?
Well,
I feel like
99.9%.
I tricked out my car to be a Batmobile.
Yeah.
Nice. I got a scrape on the side of my car, and rather than having it repaired for $600, I just put vinyl bats, a swarm of vinyl bats, off the back of my car.
It looks
cool,
almost like a band-aid, but it actually plays into
it looks awesome.
Nice.
And I feel I have the same spirit of fandom for improv and comedy as I do for comic books and
mm-hmm.
stuff, and it's a marriage of that two things. And like, you're kind of new to that, but it probably become
improv
a huge
for
fan,
sure,
like fast,
right? Like, yeah, like I'm certainly a fan of comedy and improv, but it's not normally what I do. I'm normally, when I'm on television, it's like, oh, I've thought out these things and whatever. So I kind of have to, you know, meld in with the improv world, which is, we're just making it up. And I'm like, but we should have a joke at the top. Like, I wanted to do a joke at the beginning of the show. I didn't do it. Where I come out wearing the bat apron, and I'm bringing cookies to everybody that are bat cookies. And then I take off my gloves, and I have a pair of gloves under my gloves.
Nice.
So that was how I originally envisioned the show.
Yeah, you didn't do that.
I didn't do that joke, but it was great because Peter was supposed to play another character. He was going to play a different character, and I said, put on the apron, you can be Alfred, because you have a bat. And then like the whole dumb idea of Batman just renaming. Basically, it's like Batman fights crime and wants to rename everything the bat whatever.
Right. We had a Superman cast, and he couldn't make it. Peter, who normally plays with us, he's played Nick Fury and Hank Pym.
He could have been Kal-El.
But
when the Superman movie comes out, he can play Kal-El.
Yeah, he was Alfred,
Kal-El.
And he's an amazing.
He was a great Alfred.
We
were crying with Alfred, and we were laughing with Alfred out there. It was great.
That decision was made seconds before we got on stage. It was just like, I'm not going to do my dumb joke because we actually bought cookies. And I was gonna answer because I wanted to do something different.
We should eat those cookies.
I wanted to come out this way. It's like normally the show starts here. You see the video, and then suddenly I'm giving cookies out. I have an apron on, and then I have gloves. I come up here. I take my gloves off. I still have gloves on. I take my apron off, and it's like, oh, when are the guests coming for the party? But we totally changed it the last minute. But that's like, but I'm open to that. Like, I don't care. Like, you know, I like to come up with ideas and then, like, well, change them at the last minute.
It's different that we wear costumes. Unlike most improv shows, but then we're unlike most sketch shows because we don't have a script and have no idea what we're going to
say.
So
it's sort of a meld because we did those videos, which,
sure.
you know, kind of just, they just sort of...
It's a barely scripted play.
Yeah.
And how does that feel for you guys? Like, and it seems like you get a lot of freedom with that, and... but the show flows, and it goes along, and you're laughing with it
the
whole time.
Because they're very experienced.
Wow.
I'm saying everyone else but me.
Traditionally, when I was in a play, if I ever came on, because I used to do a ton of, like, classical theater, and if there was a moment on stage where I just forgot for a millisecond what I was supposed to do next, I was like, I'm standing here in front of 100 people, I have no idea what's supposed to happen next. That eventually became my very favorite part of every play I did. And when you do this, it's 100% that. It's being in a kick-ass play with no idea what your lines are the entire time, and it's the most exciting. And because this, we don't rehearse. We just hang out together.
Right. A lot of improv groups rehearse, or they do, like, and it's like, well, like, you know, we just hang out, and then it's like, oh, that'd be funny if you did that.
Because
like,
we do go to Comic Cons, and we ride together, and we talk about it the whole time, and we stay in rooms together. So we have at least as much interaction as a normal improv show, but we don't We don't do this when there's no audience around.
Okay.
So I feel like that actually helps us to keep it really fresh and presentational and overly theatrical, and really helps capture like an energy like the Adam West kind of Batman TV show had.
But it's
where
like
everything's larger than life but grounded.
But it's like getting instant comments. When you hear the audience react in a positive way, that's good. If they're not reacting, it's like change it up. Like so the whole thing is just like getting that feedback. You're getting instant feedback and you have to respond to it. So that's why I get off the stage really quickly.
That's why I don't seem able to leave it.
No, it's great. The yellow arrow thing was brilliant. That was
that was hilarious. The Green Lantern.
That was a great applause line.
And that was one of those facts that, you know, was a fanboy fan thing. See? Like you're a Green Lantern fan, and you said you had yellow arrows to shoot Green Lantern in case he got out of control. Now, a Green Lantern fan and a Green Arrow fan would get that, and they get a big kick out of it. The rest of the audience just thought it was funny because you were talking about shooting Green Lantern.
We had the right audience.
In any show that you do here, if you make a joke or a bit or do a scene and nobody laughs, but you hear one guy in the back row of the balcony laugh his ass off, you're like, that was really good.
Yeah.
That was so good, most people didn't get it.
And it was
hilarious.
There
was one dude back there that did.
Yeah, and there were a couple people down here that just laughed and said, they were explaining it to people that were sitting around, Green Arrow or Green Lantern can't handle the color yellow. And so everyone around them started laughing too. So that was really cool. Real quick, I'll get you guys get to drinking, but favorite Batman, Chris?
Christian Bale, of course.
Bale?
Yeah,
okay.
He's awesome. But Adam West second.
Yeah.
I really think Adam West, like, to me, I fell in love with Batman when I was a kid watching reruns, you know, every week. I'm the kid who put a towel around his neck and played Batman and bounced on the bed and pretend punched things.
All right. And Patrick?
That's the best I can do.
Patrick, your favorite Batman?
Favorite Batman? I would say, favorite Batman...
With the Adam West stuff. With the
would be a tie between Adam West and Michael Keaton.
Okay.
With Christian Bale as a close second.
Very cool. Very
but
cool.
My favorite Joker...
Ooh, another good
bar name. None is Mark Hamill.
Okay.
Cesar Romero.
Yeah. With or without the mustache.
Oh, love the mustache.
That mustache.
I love it.
Well,
I love it.
People would have that debate.
I think Mark Hamill elevated that to a place that nobody has really touched yet. Plus, he did it more... When you look at how much anybody else has played the Joker, just time-wise, Mark Hamill logged, like, 50 hours or more. It's amazing.
Yeah, that voice performance.
He just won a BAFTA for playing the Joker in the Arkham-based video games.
Right.
The British Academy of Film and Television.
He will be in Star Wars Episode 7.
Yes, yes, yes.
Will he be in Star Wars Episode 7 here? Keep listening. Same comic book
right.
time.
So.
Same comic book channel.
Real quick, you guys take a minute and plug. I know you do a lot of work, Chris. What would you like to tell people to find you?
Oh, plug. You just follow me on Twitter at ThatChrisGore and listen to my podcast, PodCrash, which is on iTunes, PodCrash with ThatChrisGore. And come here to iOS where I do shows.
Patrick.
Yeah, I tweet as at Comic Book Live, and you can find me here. Performing Comic Book Live the second Saturday of every month at the iOS at 6366 Hollywood Boulevard. This is kind of my... When I'm not here, I'm just teaching English, so...
Cool. And you can see this show, actually, on youtube.com/comicbooklive.
Yeah, Comic Book Live.
And the next show, gentlemen, you guys were announcing it earlier, January.
Yeah, Saturday, January 12th, we are performing Star Wars Episode 7, The Phantom Hope. With myself as Han Solo and that Chris Gore as C-3PO.
I can't wait. We'll see you guys next month. And thanks.
Thank you, man. Thanks so much for coming out.
And we're back. That was a very interesting interview. I see they enjoy the holiday spirits.
Yes, they do. And we enjoyed many more afterwards.
That just sounds dirty. Well, how did you enjoy the show yourself?
It was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious. I actually posted a little review on ForbiddenPanel.com, so check that out for sure for more details. But the idea that these guys put this show together without any sort of script or anything like that. They show up in a homemade costume that they bring themselves and just put on a show. And it was for a good hour long, and we were laughing almost the whole time. And their next show, Star Wars Episode 7, to help kick off 2013, and the upcoming new Star Wars sequel that was recently announced should be twice as hilarious.
And we will be there for that, so keep an eye out for us if you go. I'll be the tall, skinny one. Martin will be the short, fat one.
Yes. In a Star Wars shirt and Darth Vader helmet.
So, moving on. Something really big happened this week, and it's almost borderline epic. Won't be completely epic until all parts are out. So, heads up right now, spoiler alert. But that big something was The Hobbit that we all saw at midnight. Martin, what did you think of it?
I was really impressed. I went into it with a little bit of wonder that we had gone to the 2D version, so I was wondering what we were going to be missing out by not going to 3D or to the 48 frames per second special edition that was put out. But it was fantastic. I mean, the 2D looked like it was in super high 3D definition.
Yeah, it looked like uber 1080p, yeah. Like, you know, 216p or whatever, you know, whatever's the next highest one. I can't do math right now because I'm tired. But
right.
Yeah, it looked fantastic. Like, I didn't feel like we missed anything by not seeing a 3D or a high-resolution video version that was put out. So, yeah, that was awesome, too.
And I have a very bad memory of the Hobbit book itself. And so going into it, I knew parts of it. You know, I have my favorite things from The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings stories. And I, you know, for only seeing this piece of it that we have seen of now a three-parter, was really cool. And it didn't leave me like, oh, man, that was just not enough. It was a 2 hour and 40 minute movie, and at the end you were like, okay, wow, that was almost 3 hours. That didn't feel that way, but you still have two more movies to go, and you're already satisfied. At least I was.
Now you said that you were with that satisfaction, so you're saying you're not anxious for the next part. You know, we'll see this movie and be like, well, I wish it would have continued. I wanted to see more.
Well, in that sense, I want to see the next part. I'm anxious to get to part two, but I didn't come out of it going, oh man, like they didn't give me enough for part one.
It wasn't cliffhanger.
Right. You came to an end. It almost felt like that at the end of the Lord of the Rings movies, too. Obviously, we knew there were going to be three parts back then as well, and the ending for this, not to be too spoilerific, but was very reminiscent of a lot of Lord of the Rings movie endings.
Pretty much exactly.
Yeah. So, but it was still satisfying.
So, we have audience members that haven't seen the movie yet, so we're doing our best to ruin it for them.
But it was satisfying. I mean, in my mind, I sat through a movie that at midnight, we weren't going to be getting out until 3 a.m. after 14 billion previews for movies that didn't even apply to the ones we wanted to see. And then we start this movie, and you think, oh man, I'm going to sit here for 3 hours. But you got out of it, and it really didn't feel like 3 hours, and you got a story. It had a beginning and an end, plus it's to be continued.
Right.
So to me, that was a satisfying film experience.
Now, did you feel, walking out of it, that it was very reminiscent of the first three ones, where it's just a lot of walking? Did you feel that in there?
I didn't. I actually, that was one of the things that I thought I would fall asleep during, because that's when I fall asleep when I watch the films at home for The Lord of the Rings. And it wasn't. There was traveling. They did go on a journey, a quest, but you didn't get that long, drawn-out traveling process. You saw great landscapes. You saw them walking down the paths. But there was action and involvement and story involvement, which was really cool. And a lot more singing this time. That was something else I noticed. I felt like
I already downloaded the soundtrack, and I've been listening to it nonstop.
Yeah, it was very cool, and definitely, while it was reminiscent a lot of Lord of the Rings, it's kind of like, you know, Peter Jackson, hey, I can do this now. But at the same time, he's also telling a new story in that, hey, I've already done this before.
Right. Now, when I got into it, I felt like, I mean, instantly, the minute I started seeing the movie started, I felt like I had already known everything thanks to The Lord of the Rings, and now I was just watching a different story. Like, I was already introduced to the universe, the world, the visuals, everything, characters, all that stuff, and it was just a new story. So, in that aspect, I felt at home with it. Did you feel the same?
It was new to me, in the sense of I had already seen Lord of the Rings, but I didn't know exactly what to expect of the story, because as you and I had talked a little bit, they were going to be incorporating two books, actually.
Right, The Hobbit and The Silmarillion.
Was going to be mixed in, and so I hadn't heard anything about that, too much about what the other story was, so when I sat down to it, it was new to me, but immediately was comfortable in it and ready for what was coming. It was a Lord of the Rings movie, so I was ready for that kind of epicness.
Now, did you notice the lost and confusion in everybody's face during the first 5 minute section?
Yeah, you could definitely tell who was there just not knowing what to expect and who had not ever been a part of a story, and the people who were diehard fans.
Right, because, I mean, to give it away, it starts off with a part from the Silmarillion. It doesn't start off, and there was a hobbit named Bilbo or, you know, what have you. It gave you 5 minutes of back history, and it was a section from the Silmarillion. So when that started, the confusion in the audience's face, from my point of view, was just, I felt like I was in on a dirty secret. Like,
yeah.
You know, everybody was just like, what, this isn't, I'm like, Silmarillion, motherfuckers, like, I read it, why didn't you, you know, like, and I enjoyed it. And especially considering, all I'd say about, what, 45 seconds in, when you saw just the visuals of the place and description, you know, I don't want to give too much away because Richard's sitting there crying already with what we've been...
I've read the book.
Okay, so when it shows the Dwarf Kingdom, you know, the inside the Lonely Mountain and everything, it was, I was just taken away. Like, it was like a cross between an M.C. Escher painting and Richard coughing in the background. That's what it looked like,
yeah.
A cross between. But an M.C. Escher painting and just, I don't know, just I just wanted to take pictures and hang them all on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew from then on that it was a big bag of Peter Jackson not only showing off, but in a good way.
Right.
Like, he was saying, here's what I can do now, bitches.
And I've got the money to do it even more now.
Right.
So now we're gonna spend the dollars and do it even bigger than we did before.
Right. And not only just showing off for himself, but to show off for the fans. Like,
mm-hmm.
This is because of your faith. This is because of what you gave me from the first three movies. Here you go. You deserve this. And I love that. There was a couple of parts in there too that were from the Silmarillion that, while I had read the book, I just wasn't too familiar with, and when I saw them, I was just taken aback by them. So yeah, I was
now, you were very giddy about going into this. How did you feel coming out of it?
Honestly, I felt a little pissed off. Not because of what I saw or the quality or anything like that, but because I felt like, really? I gotta wait 6 more months? Like, I wanted more immediately. And that bothered me. I would have been, because for you, it was you were fine with the ending and waiting for the next part. I felt like the last 3 minutes of the movie was made just to end the movie. Like, if they weren't continuing, like, it was gonna, if it wasn't part two coming out, they could have lost the whole part and just gone on with the next part of the film, and I would have been happy with it. So I just felt like, you know, oh, they're just milking this because it's the end of this movie.
They're trying to give it some kind of closure.
Right.
And they could have kept that part.
Right, and I understand the reasons, but I want to see all three of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm upset because I have to wait.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me.
But that's a
real
fanboy problem, like,
right.
I have. And that's really cool. And I think that's also one of the things that'll keep checking out. What I was wondering was, was it just going to be the fanboys that were out there watching it Thursday at midnight, Friday when they got off work, when, as soon as they could, and then it was going to die out? It actually turned out that they took number one movie for the weekend, which was...
Right, but didn't make $100 million that they wanted.
But didn't break $100 million. They got $84.8 million for the weekend, which is still the biggest opening in December, is what they were saying. But it was not the opening they were hoping for. And I'm wondering, does that mean it's going to taper off as the holidays approach? Because we do have two very big movies coming out for Christmas. Are they going to continue to take it for many weeks to come? Kind of like Avatar, you know, had a very long run, a very
right.
successful big run. Will this just kind of be with hype? And the fans paid their money and got there and got on the number one movie weekend, and then are just going to wait? It's going to be a year, right? They're talking a year for the second one, and then
no,
six months after that.
6 months for the second one. They want a summer movie,
okay.
And then a Christmas movie for the ending.
Right. So it's one of those things where, you know, they're pushing this to get that out for the fans, because they want to thank the fans, I'm sure, for Lord of the Rings' success. But, you know, how is it going to be what it was, what they were expecting? Are they going to get new fans? Are they going to get people who aren't?
I think what's going to, if anything, what's going to kill this franchise and kill their numbers is the people that don't want to wait. I think there's that. And the multiple versions of the film.
Yeah.
There's the standard version that we saw, the high frame rate version, and also the IMAX version. So I think that's going to kill, you know, because people have to decide, like, which one I want to see. And there's some confusion about it, too.
Because
not a lot of people, like ourselves, know about the high frame rate version. So they may walk out of that disappointed. Though I've heard from some fans that they liked it and they enjoyed it, but I didn't see any part in that movie that deserved IMAX.
Right.
I mean, at least not the 3D aspect of IMAX. Nothing worth wearing those glasses for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
However, like, I'd like to see it on IMAX non-3D version.
Right, exactly.
And I think that
especially
would be
for some of those, like you were saying, the things that look like they should be paintings.
Right.
Those things would look phenomenal on IMAX. But the 3D side of it, somebody that I talked to that saw the 3D side of it said that it was blurry the whole time, and they actually went to a higher-end 3D theater just so they could get this great viewing of it, and it still hurt their eyes to watch it. Didn't hurt the story.
Right.
You're still hearing the story. You could still kind of understand what was going on, but it was just blurry, and the 3D was too much for what that was. It should have been a 2D.
Well, see, I'm curious about, because one of the other people I talked to that went and saw the IMAX version, normally when you see an IMAX movie, the glasses are not only designed for 3D, but they're also tinted.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of shade everything, and he said that these glasses were not tinted, so you were still able to see things.
Hmm.
However, there are a couple parts in the movie, you know, Gollum in the cave and plugging your ears for this one, Richard, the rock fight, because
yeah.
It's predominantly dark, and if you're not paying attention to it, you know, if you're seeing through tinted glasses, you're going to miss a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think maybe that's going to be the killer for, if anything, for the franchise.
Yeah.
I think only time
will tell, really. As we get towards Christmas, I'd really like to see what it does this next coming weekend, the weekend before Christmas,
right.
And see how successful it maintains that, and then maybe past the holiday a little bit. But, you know, yeah, 6 months is not, in my opinion, is not too far to wait out. I'm already waiting for movies in 2015, so 6 months is awesome for me.
Right, but you haven't seen the parts of those movies
right.
yet.
Right, yeah.
And that's what's going to be different, is that, like, even though it is part of Silmarillion, We knew Lord of the Rings was three movies because it's three books. The Hobbit is one book,
mm-hmm.
and nowhere near the size of any one of those three books. So the fact that they're splitting it into three movies makes you wonder exactly what's going to be in there. You know,
right.
What part of Silmarillion they're going to incorporate, and just how much of it they're going to actually drag out.
Yeah.
So now I will tell everybody, give you a heads up. There are three things I'm very excited to see. We did not see in this movie yet. One, Smaug.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the spiders. And three, the Battle of the Five Armies.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the big three things that we're going to see. And according to the book, the Battle of the Five Armies will be the third movie. So I'm wondering how much of Smaug and the spiders are going to incorporate in the second movie. I don't think they can get away with the crap like they did with this one of Smaug being a blur. I think they're going to have to show Smaug at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a payoff. If you're going to have, especially if you're going to be doing IMAX or 48 frames per second or anything like that, you're going to need to put Smaug out there in all his glory. He's going to have to be better than Avatar,
right.
In my opinion. I mean, he's going to have to be huge.
And from what we saw of Smaug in this film, we did get a short glimpse. First off, Peter Jackson, you have issues with eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, let me just tell you that right now. Second off, it looked fantastic,
yeah.
Like what I saw of it. So yeah, you know, I'm very excited about that. What was your take on the dwarves, the effects with the dwarves?
I was impressed with how they looked. They gave actors that I've seen on other things. Now watching Lord of the Rings and going back and seeing how those hobbits looked in real life and envisioning them as hobbits, it's kind of funny to watch them. Seeing the dwarves, knowing the dwarves as actors on other shows, other movies, and coming to be elves, or dwarves, was very hard to shrink them down in my mind. But they did a great job. Made them look stocky, made them look short, appearing next to Gandalf, appearing next to the hobbits and the comparisons there, bringing in trolls, you know, all of these different characters that they had to compare them to in size was amazing to me. They differentiated in their face the most.
Yeah.
The rest of it all looked very the same, just maybe different colors. The bodies were kind of the same bodysuit maybe, and they just painted them different colors. You and I talked about boots kind of looking all the same.
Yeah, all the boots kind of look the same to me.
Right, and so...
And because I was checking them out because, you know, being a wrestling fan, I know when to look for risers.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for those to see, you know, but to see if they made it... They were going to wear them just to be taller than Bilbo just to save on money on effects,
mm-hmm.
or not. And some of them actually were.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that. And so they were wearing very similar boots, but yeah. Very stocky, very... I didn't feel like a forced perspective at all, and it took... There were a couple scenes in the movies, especially during the battles, where it didn't even dawn on me that these guys are like 3 feet tall.
Right.
You know, that because they were throwing down like full on tall people and it was fantastic.
Until a tall person walked on the
set. Right, until
a tall person. And when they were in the scene, then it was like, holy crap, Gandalf is like towering over these
right.
guys. And it totally
especially
gave
Bag
End. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Bag End was very entertaining. It's always cool to see Ian McKellen as Gandalf walking around in Bag End and, you know, ducking down and all those
right.
kind of things. It's something I've had to deal with my adulthood, so I can relate with that a little bit.
Your legs are going to be broken before the end of the show.
Yeah, sorry.
He just called
me
a hobbit.
I did not call me a fucking hobbit.
Anything about Adrian.
Everybody heard that, right? Right?
Anyways, if you guys don't hear from me in the next show, it's been fun.
and I think because of the dwarves and the boots and Gandalf, that really the only person that the supper wearing the hobbit feet was Bilbo, with a short glimpse of Frodo
mm-hmm.
in there. So I think he's able to... He's very glad about that, and I'm sure everybody else is, though the actor playing Bilbo might have gotten pissed off that he still has to wear those shoes.
Yeah.
Because if you watch the director's commentary or anything behind the scenes, that's the number one complaint from everybody was the damn shoes that they had to wear for the hobbit feet. So he gets away with it only having one person doing it. Colin.
My absolute favorite character in all the stories, and even in 2D, he was creepy looking in a dark cave.
He looked like frog skin.
Yes. You could see serious detail on that CGI this time. And I don't know that it was that different, that it was. It just seems like the camera they used maybe was better, like you were saying, the 1080p this time around, but he looked so defined as the character this time. The eyes, the movement, the shifting around and stuff, and Andy Serkis is just amazing.
Now, I mean, I had a tiny problem with Gollum, and that was if you, let's say they had done this right, and they'd shown the Hobbit first, and you weren't familiar with his personality, and having seen him in the other Lord of the Rings, he walked onto the film expecting everyone to already know who he was. So there was no grand introduction.
That's true.
There was no real backstory in it.
Mm-hmm.
He just walked in like he was one of the 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little disappointed in that. Like, I think he should have had a little bit more build up before he got there, a little more creepiness into him. But he just shows up on screen. And you're good to go. In the Lord of the Rings, I mean, they teased at him.
Right.
You know, coming. They showed him every now and then. They made
Flash
it real creepy.
And
then when he did show up, the music, everything just amplified the fact that he was on screen. And this one, they didn't. It was just like he was just another character that you expected to see. And I didn't like that part.
And it seemed very eager to get to the riddles.
Right.
It was very quick. A lot of the dialogue that he and Bilbo had seemed like it went fast. It was not meant to be a drawn-out scene,
And they were milking that dual personality
yes,
conversation as well. But, I mean, overall, as part of the film, I thought it was awesome. His effects were fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and doing that switch back and forth in the dialogue that he does with the Smeagol and Gollum is, to me, amazing.
Right.
I like to talk back and forth that fast. It seems like he really does have multiple personalities.
And I don't remember in the book, but I think that this is the last we see of him.
Right. I don't recall them ever having to refer back to him.
Right. Like, we don't see him again. So, I mean, that's kind of sad. Yeah. I mean, it was basically maybe 10 minutes
yeah.
of screen time when he was such a big impact in the other three movies. So, again, because of that, you would have thought they would have had a bigger build up to him. Like,
mm-hmm.
it would have been something more impactful
right.
when he showed up on screen. I think they just took advantage of the other movies because of it.
Or their answer is going to be, hey, go watch Lord of the Rings.
Right, and, you know, I don't know, that was kind of disappointing to me. But otherwise, yeah, I thought they did a fantastic
cool.
job with them. Yeah.
And the effects, one of the things that the 3D people have said is that the scenes with Bilbo and wearing the ring and the invisibility part of it and just how that looks in 3D, everyone that has seen it that's positively reported on it has said that part of it looks really cool in 3D. So that's good to hear that they put some effort in there on that.
Well, honestly, I mean, it's not that much of a part to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't,
well,
it's not that long of a part.
And see, that was what I was thinking. That was what was explained to me, was you would think that, but in 3D, you're seeing kind of the waves of invisibility and
right.
how that would appear to a person there in an invisible world versus...
And maybe that might be worth it come the second movie when he's invisible more,
yeah.
and even toward the end of the third movie, during the Battle of the Five Armies, if I remember the book right. But, you know, in the first movie, literally, it's like 3 minutes. He's invisible. And it's really not worth it,
mm-hmm.
you know, for that.
Well, for this movie, it may have just been a trick for the 3D for this movie.
Right.
And hopefully it'll be a bigger piece in the future. So, but yeah, that was a movie definitely, I mean, we were lucked out. We didn't have to getting a huge line. We didn't camp out.
Yeah, that was
night.
What was awesome with the theater that we went to. Well, we won't tell you where it's at because we don't want you showing up.
Yeah.
So if you followed, you know, Midnight Movies with the Maniacs, then you know where we were.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How true is it to the books?
Very. Very. Especially with the... They incorporated the side stories from the Silmarillion into it so that it flows. It's like when you take cut scenes, you know, the deleted scenes
right.
and added them into the movie instead of watching them separately. That's what it felt like, and you didn't even know it.
So do you think there's, like, when released on DVD, is there going to be a theatrical version, and then
I think
months later they're going to rip us off for the extended version?
I think absolutely
again.
There's going to be an extended version because some of the pacing in there felt jittery. And it wasn't so much that if you're... Like, I notice these things because I'm looking for them.
Right.
You know? But I think normal fans won't notice them, and I noticed that a little bit. I was like, oh, really? I didn't care. I was too busy going, I'm 3D, you know?
I'm just impressed with the fact that there's parts of Silmarillion in there. That's
yeah, yeah. And they did that on purpose because they wanted to make it.
A complete novel.
Right.
It was my favorite of them. It's so well written. I'm sold regardless, but that just means the world to me right there.
Right. Same with me when I found out. And they did that so that they could make it into 3 movies. You'll know when you first seen immediately. You'd be like, oh, sweet, you know.
So if I don't show up to work tomorrow,
you're fired.
But I'll stop.
Yeah. And see, for me, as someone who hasn't read The Silmarillion, that's what I want to go run out and buy now.
Right.
I want to go
it's
get
it's a hard
book,
read.
Man. And I want to read this book.
And you can tell it's an incomplete novel,
mm-hmm.
But it's so well written.
Technically, it came out after the trilogy, and it was finished by his son. But what it is, it's just little short stories that introduce Middle-earth and take place in between some stories. I believe there's some with Bilbo
right. And
Frodo and a couple, like one with Aragorn. But like for the most part, you're not really reading about characters you know because it's just giving you backstory about Middle-earth.
It's building the universe in general.
Right.
And it makes such a complete... It shows exactly how in-depth... Like if you've ever seen any biographies on Tolkien and how in-depth he got with creating this universe, like this book just... It just spells it out for you. It's amazing.
It feels like a handbook to the Tolkien universe. And so that's what makes it a hard read. I read it when I was in fifth grade. So, like, you know, I had a higher reading comprehension, but still I was like, okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But now I respect it more. Like, throughout the years, you respect it more, especially after all these movies have come out. Because, you know, it feels like, you know, Dirty Little Secrets. You know, like, oh, that's why you that's
yeah,
why
well, you were the
that.
Guy sitting in there that kind of knew, and you could look around and see the bewilderment on everybody's face, that what is this, what is this part, what is this? I don't remember that in The Hobbit. And the Hobbit part of it, yeah, I'd like to read the book again just to kind of reminisce, and now especially to see part 2 and part 3 maybe lay out a little more. But I didn't feel like I needed to rush out and buy it afterwards to read it again. Lord of the Rings, after that came out, I went back and read the book again because it felt like something that needed to be done after
that
seeing
that. That was
actually
probably the coolest thing about the Lord of the Rings is everybody went back and started reading again.
Mm-hmm.
In the society that is just dummied down on television, to see people actually read, and it's something that we grew up with. Like when AJ and I were in school, it was required. Like in junior high, we had to read it. Like there was no... There was nobody in school that didn't read Lord of the Rings. You had to do it. Like, we had summer reading. You had to read it. You had to do a report on it. You had to actually show you comprehended it, you know, and...
And it was one of those few books where you actually enjoyed the assignment.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, when you think about it, when we're kids, you know, we don't care about that crap. But then you get a couple chapters into it. Like, I think, didn't they start... Weren't we in the same class where he, like, started reading the first chapter in class? And that's what hooked you. You're like, fuck, all right, I'm down. You know?
Yeah, it's amazing. And for anything that, it doesn't matter what genre, for anything that to tell a story, like movie-wise, to tell a story, that shows the passion of the director. To make to so close to the book, it makes you want to go and read it. It's just...
Like I said, I love the movie. I'm anxious for the other movies. I'm going to get it as soon as it's available to get. I can watch it as many times at home as possible. And once all 3 movies are out, extended versions, the whole 9, I'm going to buy the entire complete set in Blu-ray and have another day watching it here.
Right. it is definitely one of the things where I already want to buy it.
Right. And we watched, and we sat here last weekend and watched the extended versions of all three Lord of the Rings movies, 12 hours long.
Amazing.
And I was not bored at any point in time. I smoke. I did not get up and smoke during the movie. The extended versions, I waited till, you know, we were transitioning between. And, yeah, so it still held me. So when I walked in Thursday to watch The Hobbit, it just felt like I got home, sat on my couch, put on my favorite sweater, and was just like, all right, let's go, you know, I was just ready for it, so.
Yeah, but here's a question. Where's Peter Jackson go from here?
He goes back to The Frighteners Part 2.
I like The Frighteners.
So do I, but Michael J. Fox can't be in the sequel.
It'll be very interesting to see what he does do after this. I mean, he's going to be busy for another year.
Yeah, but it's...
If not more, because I'm sure the extended editions are going to need work and things like that.
And if you can, do yourselves a favor right now. Go pick up the soundtrack.
It is amazing.
It's all different variations of the Lonely Mountain song that you hear in the commercials. But the way that they arranged it and put it together, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. It just takes you back, and it just feels like you can lay down in bed and just listen to it all night. And, yeah, it's just awesome. Even the rendition of The Lonely Mountain they do at the end, which is kind of a little more poppy. But
yeah, a little bit happier version.
Yeah, but it's still just amazing.
Yeah.
Wait till the dubstep remix comes out.
I've already got that one. Wasn't that Skrillex, one of the dwarves?
So I think with that, we'll go back off air and continue to torture Richard with details of the movie and not our audience. And I think that'll cap off 109. We're building quite a long episode here.
Yes. Episode 109, already at an hour and a half. So,
woo!
Not as long as The Hobbit, but not as short as Martin said. Anyway, thank you everybody for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will catch you on episode 110.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.